DJW Mobile.
KJ4, CTV Mobile.
Haven't heard you on here in a while. How you doing?
I'm crazy. I tell you what, the feds are crazy. The feds are crazy.
Like F.E.T., Frank Edward Tango?
But Delta.
Thanks.
People I work with. Apparently they didn't keep any of my certification letters in their system. So they have asked me for those letters. And it's like, oh my gosh. Okay, fine.
Hope you keep good records.
Matter of fact, those are actually kept in the fireproof filing cabinet. So those are, I do have those, but they're in Greenville, and I'm actually heading towards Clemson right now.
Day to be out and about, isn't it?
Chilly, though. We had already been through faux spring once, and faux winter, second winter, whatever it is.
No, that's Indian summer, isn't it? Anyway. Yeah, it surprised me too, as cool as it is. I was out there working, my hands were getting cold. I had to get back in the truck and get warmed up. But it's fine as long as you're inside a vehicle and you got that radiation coming through the glass without the wind. It feels fine. It's only when you get out there in the wind that it starts biting.
On the freezing last night, I just hope it didn't stay down there long enough to wipe out the peaches. You know, they've already sprouted leaves and had some blooms on them. Hopefully they're okay.
Life as a farmer, that's got to be hard. Apple blossoms too, I guess, huh?
Yeah, actually in the apples too. I don't think they've actually bloomed yet.
Peaches bloomed earlier than the apples. I thought they all came out about the same time.
That's apples here versus apples in the mountain. The mountain apples have not bloomed yet.
Well, a little cooler up there, but I think they've been getting warm days too, just like we have, which we did start getting this kind of early. So, I mean, you know, it is still the middle of March, right?
Get that. Oh, and get this. I have to take a class for work. And I've been trying to get the class since July. And the last I heard was, well, we probably won't have any spots before the next fiscal year, which, you know, for the feds, that's October. So they're jumping up and down and trying to get me in the class because apparently there is no one, zero individuals in Southern region that have had the class. It is mandatory training, but what surprised me, and apparently totally surprised my inspector, was that there aren't even any federal employees that have had the training in the region. And that's just, it's kind of shocking. And it's like, it's mandatory. It didn't used to be mandatory. They made it mandatory about a year and a half ago. They're like, hey, we need to start inspecting these things. So this is now mandatory. And they didn't, there is, somebody dropped the ball somewhere in there.
That Fed training when I was working was a really, really high priority. You made sure you didn't get on the list. Because if you got on the list, it was really expensive for banks anyway. If you didn't make the mandatory required Fed training, that was like more important than production in some senses. And usually, typically, nothing took precedence over fraud.
It just became mandatory to inspect these systems. This particular, it's the rabbit lights at the end of the runway. And it just became mandatory to inspect them. Because, I mean, really, there's not that much that can go wrong with them. I mean, blown contactor or power, but that's about it.
What are going to be for then?
Probably how to fix the blown power systems and whatnot. Had to take a lockout tagout class, which is already taken. I already met that. So I'm not exactly certain what's involved with this class, but it's a mandatory 80-hour, two-week course, which at least based on the last time I took a course from the feds, at least 30 hours of it was just nonsense.
Ours were, a lot of it, some of it had, some of it made sense. About 30% of it was valuable information, and 70% of it was frou-frou, fluff-fluff.
Like, you know, don't lick your fingertips and then stick your fingers in the equipment on the high voltage side. I mean, you know, if you're doing that and you're a tech, you're an idiot. And you won't be doing this long because you'll be dead.
It's no, and those that you never knew. Those that know and those that never knew.
Never forget it again. So, anyway, KJ4, CTD Mobile.
Well, I was going to go do some flying, but it's just too cold out there to do flying today. Just too cold. But, you know, you can see clear all the way to the mountains. It's a beautiful view today. Visibility is a long way.
I would be a far day. I mean, even down here, I'm running up on 11 right now, and it's just clear. It's beautiful. But it's 45 degrees.
Agrees, it doesn't take much wind. I know I had my beanie hat on that Amy knits me. I got like six of those things. They're laying around everywhere. I had those and I had the gloves, but I can't work with gloves on. So I had to take them. Had to take the gloves off, and it was cold. Should have worn some long handles too, because that cold cuts right through blue jeans.
From road traffic. And so, you know, at least, you know, for the next hour, be in the truck, nice warm, got the heater on a little bit. Should be great, as long as I don't stay behind slow people.
Drive too. Somebody will pull out in front of you and then they'll slow down. They hurry up to get in front of you and then they just tiddle along. It's like, oh, I gotta go before this car gets here. And then it's like, oh, their mind just shifts into a totally different gear. And they're not even focused on driving. It's frustrating as can be.
I really understand that. You know, most of the roads on the north end of the county, like 14 and 11, they're good long spots where they're 55 mile an hour. And I get a lot of North Carolina plates that as soon as they cross the state line, they go, oh, hey, look, it's a 55 mile an hour speed limit sign. I'm going to go 48. And then, oh, hey, look, it's a 45 yellow sign. I'm going to go 35. And it's like, oh, my gosh, people, just stop. Get off the road. Let people pass you.
Carolina's bad enough, but Florida's a lot worse. Oh, man, the Florida tax. We shouldn't be stereotyping. You know that's wrong, right?
I'll tell you this story. This is a funny story. My mom and I were sitting at a Cracker Barrel, Jacksonville area. And we were going on about this type of thing, you know, 30 years ago. And we were like, yeah, you know, they're going to set up at the rest area and require anybody that's moving to Florida to take a road test before they're allowed to drive in the state. Or they're going to reject them and tell them they can't come in the state. I mean, we were being, you know, we were acting serious, but we were being funny about it. And this couple that was next to us, they were from up north somewhere, and they were like, they came up and said, are they really going to pass a law like that? What are we going to do? I mean, we're driving an RV. They're hard enough to drive as it is. And it's like, no, we're just kidding.
W, what kind of test did you call that? I thought you called it a lid test.
But I did, because, you know, even back in the late 90s, we had a problem with a lot of the snowbirds coming down into Florida when I was living in Florida, and they couldn't drive. They would sit in the left lane with their left blinker on and go 10 under on the interstate, and they would never move. And it was driving us bonkers, because at that time I was commuting from Florida to South Carolina about every 3 weeks.
The law on that recently. I don't know if it was just North Carolina or North Carolina and South Carolina, but that is illegal now. You can't do that.
I recommend recommended for a long time that you don't do that. And South Carolina has passed that law. And there is now a law, a bill moving through the state house that says that if somebody is sitting in the left lane and not getting out of the way, you will not be allowed to pass them in the right-hand lane. And it's like, then why are you passing this if you're not enforcing the don't sit in the left lane law?
If they'll enforce it, the one by not going around them on the right. That would make complete sense for a nonsense state, right? A state that doesn't have any sense, that would make complete sense. You don't ticket the one that's breaking the first law, you ticket the one that's breaking the second law.
That state with South Carolina troopers, they would be much more likely to ticket the one that was passing on the right because the guy on the left didn't get out of the way. I would, because I've actually been, a cop gave me a warning for doing that one time, and it's like, but the guy wasn't moving. He was going 10 under the speed limit. And it's like, oh my gosh, people.
I didn't know it was illegal to pass on the right. I do that all the time. If I'm coming up on somebody in the passing lane and they're just buttering along, I don't even think about it. I just move over to the right and go around them. It doesn't even, I mean, there's no thought process that goes into that. That's just stimulus and response.
And I don't remember what state that was in. That could have been Georgia or Florida. I don't remember. Because I haven't gotten a ticket in a long time, knock on wood. But I've also moderated my driving. I only speed on the runways now.
Yeah, that's why I got rid of my radar detector. It was going off all the time. Every time I looked at it, when it went off, I'd look at my speedometer. I'd be going speed limit or maybe two or three over, two or three under. So I just took that noisemaker out. It was just annoying.
Those are actually illegal. And, you know, it's like, you know, generally, but the rule of thumb is they're not going to pull you over if you're doing within 7 miles an hour. So, you know, I generally do within 7 miles an hour of the speed limit one way or the other. Sometimes I slow down. Not often, but sometimes I do.
Where I use the exact same number. I heard they really look at 10, but 7 is on the safe side. I don't do more than 7 over. Not unless I'm, like, in the process of passing somebody on a two-lane road when I have the passing line, when the no passing line's not there. Then I'll go a little bit higher than that, but then slow right back down after I get over that.
You know, some places, that's the other thing that irritates the fool out of me, is they'll be driving 500 the speed limit, and then as soon as there's a passing lane, they will speed up to 5 over the speed limit. And it's like, oh my gosh, why? Why are you just being a jerk?
Me the other day, she was going really, like she wasn't paying attention, and then all of a sudden when she sees that you're passing, it's like, oh no, you can't do that. I'm going to pay attention now. You're right.
I'm rapidly approaching, I'm at 1.825 million miles driven, give or take. I've been there, done that, seen just about everything, and I could do a laundry list, a long laundry list of people that just irritate me.
But it's just getting old too, right? The older we get, the easier it is to be irritated.
And most people don't drive anywhere near the kind of miles that I do. I mean, I'm up in truck driver kind of territory. But most people, you know, if you look at the state, they're like, well, on average, most people drive 18,000 miles a year. And, you know, at one point I was doing that every 3 months. And so, anyway, it is what it is.
Bangport to Charlotte, it was 52,000 a year just for work, not including all the other stuff you did for driving. And when the car got up over 100,000 miles, it was time to get another one because dependability starts dropping off. They're still, nowadays they'll go further than that, but they're not quite as dependable.
Is around 200,000 on the truck. I will start looking for a new vehicle, and I will have a new vehicle by the time I hit 250. Because on trucks, at 250, that's when major things start breaking.
Let's just suspension parts or drivetrain parts or what?
Suspension, in some cases, my F-150 died at 187,000 when it dropped its valves. And did a lot of damage to the engine when it did that. And only to come find out later that, oh, yes, the 5.4 modular is a terrible Ford engine. Don't ever buy that. And I'm like, well, now you tell me.
That Chevy engine that that Johnny got in that dually had a crankshaft issue. Breaking crankshafts like crazy. They figured out a solution for it, but if you own one, it doesn't do you any good. Unless you're going to do a rehaul, like overhaul, like Johnny did.
You know, the other thing that happened on that F-150 is that it literally blew a spark plug out of the engine while I was trying to pass somebody. Totally lost power, and it's like, oh my gosh. So I'm actually, you know, Ford quality, when I bought that F-150, that's the time that their quality just went to pot. And I stopped buying Ford products. This Ram is actually doing pretty good.
Ford trucks. The only Fords I ever had were Mustangs. My sister had a Pinto, and my dad had a Maverick. But the only Ford I ever had was a Mustang. And I didn't really consider it a Ford. It was too good to be Ford.
You know, at one point in my life, that was, well, actually, it's still in my things of, you know, midlife crisis kind of vehicles, is to get an older Mustang. I don't like any of the Mustangs they're producing now. I just don't like them. They're just not muscle cars to me anymore. And I've owned a truck for my daily work stuff pretty much forever.
For now, instead of for muscle car-wise.
I haven't really looked because they're all trying to go all electric. And to me, a muscle car needs a gas engine. But I still don't like the Corvettes. I just don't like the look or feel of them.
It's okay. And there was one other. I don't like the way Tesla's look at all. I like the acceleration, but I don't like their looks. I think they're ugly. But that's just me. I was going to get one, too. And man, when I saw the body style on it, I decided no way. That and you'll never recoup. The value, that costs too much to recoup your money now. You'd have to live to be 190 years old to get your money's worth out of them. But the Camaros still look good. That Chrysler Hellcat looks pretty good. But I've never owned a Chrysler. And what else? I can't think of what else.
You go to the really expensive cars, most of which are foreign. What was that? The Ferraris used to look good, but the Ferraris do not look good anymore. And then you go up to the really expensive, you know, $250,000 things, and that's just like, you know, I just don't have that much money for a fast car that I can't drive anywhere.
Over to Germany, drive it on the Autobahn, and go as fast as you want.
95 outside of South Carolina, and you know, you can just about run anything out there. That's a high speed rate. I wish they had fixed 95 through South Carolina, but I haven't even heard them talking about it.
That's the area where a deer will jump out in front of you. I passed a deer going 70 one time, and he was about 5 feet from the car, and that was like scary.
I only managed to hit a deer in this truck in West Virginia, but I saw the first two go across the road, and I saw the buck sitting in the middle, and I'm like slamming on the brakes, going from some large number of speed down to, and I hit the deer at 30, and it didn't do hardly any damage at all to the truck. I never saw the deer.
Crotch Rocket just passed me on the right. He's got to be cold. All he's got on is a sweatshirt and blue jeans. He's got to be freezing.
People, and then there are dumb people.
In the wintertime, but I had a snowmobile suit on when I was riding. I was warm.
Plugged in, had a heater coil up.
It's a snowmobile suit. It's full-fledged, one piece. You unzip it everywhere, and you zip it back up everywhere, and it goes down over your gloves. Gloves integrate with it. Boots integrate with it. Helmet integrates with it. I was warm as toasty in the wintertime. The only time I really got cold is when it got down to 8 degrees, and I was coming home from Michelin, and I got cold that night. But most of the time, it wasn't an issue.
It is cold. Oh, hey, I got a question for you. I was down in Fountain Inn the other day. Is that airport that you fly out of down there, is that near that Michelin distribution center that's down there? I think they call that the Woodruff distribution.
They're down there. One is the Blue Ridge Flying Tigers that used to be up on Lake Robinson, but now they're down around Ware Shoals. And the other one is over there at the Mesa Center. And they're the Skyhawks, the Western Carolina Radio Club Skyhawks, WCRC.
I've been the one Ware Shoals then that I was looking for, because I was all the way down on 418, which is a place I don't, oddly enough.
It's been a long time. I do need to get back. They do have fly-ins there, and they send out flyers, and I say I'm going to go, but I never go. But I need to get back down there again. Somewhere, it's not far from the Ware Shoals drag strip. You know where that is?
I don't know about Ware Shoals or Ware Place. I just know where 418 is. Then 101. 101 and 418. I know where that is. That's about all I know down that way.
But landfill was down there. They built their airstrip on the old landfill down in Ware Shoals.
Okay. Well, anyway, just asking because I thought about it.
Plan anytime soon? Have you given that any thought lately?
That is the next little political season, which is this month. Probably. I might actually start considering that again.
Or the next big one. Are you talking about 2024?
Precinct reorg this month, which is as local as you can get. And then I'm probably going to just back out a little bit because it's all gone to pot. It's crazy here.
Get some airplanes and some multi-rotors and even some helicopters.
But I already have that have been sitting in my basement collecting spider webs. And I have more time to play with radios. I finally got my feed line to my new office. I managed to do that over the weekend. And I have my Flex 1500 hooked up. Good receive. Works pretty good. I had PSK reporter running on it for a while, trying to figure out where my antenna is actually pointing, and that worked out pretty well. I got to get all the little bits and bobs squared away to actually transmit on it, but we'll see how that goes. KJ4 CTD Mobile.
W Mobile. Well, I got my Hermes, which is about the same size as that 1500, and it's a SDR. It has that field programmable data grade in it. And it'll do 10 watts out. And I was on it yesterday, I think it was. Sometime yesterday on 12 meters. And I put my call out there two or three times, and I pulled up PSK reporter, and it just lit up. Europe, Asiatic Europe, India. I don't think there was one in Thailand, but Japan, South Korea. 12 meters on that little 10-watt Hermes radio, and it just, on 12 meters, it just lit up PSK reporter. That was pretty cool. It's, propagation's really, really good right now.
Pointing towards Africa and Washington State seems to be the direction my antenna seems to be receiving from. But, you know, that 1500, it didn't put out any power. And I've been looking for something else as an SDR radio, and just kind of drawing a blank at the moment.
What out there, but you got to record like Zygu, or there's several others. I don't recall all of them. But there's quite a few. You know, there's still that KX3.
The price of the Flex 6400, and went, nope. Sorry, can't afford that on a radio. My wife wants a generator before I'm allowed to have that kind of radio.
I would rather spend that much money on myself. I'd rather get a new pickup truck. This 1996 one is getting old. But it still runs good. It's only got 37,000 miles on it now. Anyway, I'm about home, Wyatt. Have a good rest of the day. Stay safe out there. Enjoy this beautiful sunshine. KJ4CTD, W4DJW.
KJ4CTD, mobile. Have a good day.